This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. Hog Market Overview. Packers have found hogs plentiful enough not to share much of the superior pork value with hog producers. While numbers should moderate seasonally, they are expected to continue to exceed year-ago levels. Kill capacity will not increase until mid-year when new plants come online. The price of hogs is not all the same for industry producers. It's only a starting point from which hogs are valued, and the vast majority of hogs bring proceeds far higher than the commodity hog market based upon contract premiums or more deeply ingrained integration that share the premium value of pork with producers. If you are producing hogs for the commodity hog market, you are seated at a poker game whereby wondering who the patsy in the game may be should by now have figured out that you are it. The major hog producers in this industry either partnered with packers through contracts receiving a premium revenue structure, or in the case of very large producers, jointly formed pork companies building plants. Triumph Foods, for example, was formed by independent hog producers in 2003, building plants in St. Joseph, Missouri, and now have one under construction in Sioux City, Iowa. The integration is the structure for profitability for the industry that all producers can participate in. Triumph processes in excess of 20% of the industry's hogs. The integration is not restricted to producers and packers, but advances further up the supply chain, connecting directly with consumers, both domestic and foreign. It takes refrigeration and packaging to accommodate export buyers. Integrators purchase meat processors to add value to products in the retail meat case and freezers. Smithfield Foods integrated in a different direction, buying two grain elevators in Ohio to acquire grain for their livestock. The company reportedly now buys 65% of its feedstuffs directly from farmers and will extend integration through contracts to grain producers too. The integration of the pork industry is still in an interim stage with a long ways to go in its potential. The more traditional independent producers are shrinking in number and will struggle to find their niche in the industry to continue to participate at some level with an economically viable existence. Their interests have been effectively isolated within the industry. Packers have been enjoying the opportunity to kill near daily maximum kill capacity so that they fully amortize their fixed costs. Imagine how the hog industry may have expanded without all the pushback from rural naysayers who attempt to block new units. I think that the ICCI and local resistance to hog lots has likely kept the industry from unimpeded expansion that would have been even more negative consequences for industry profitability. This industry is set to continue to produce one hog too many. Left to expand without a virus to moderate production, the industry will utilize the kill capacity being added later this year and wonder where it went. You're listening to the Comstock Report. On the cattle, I would think that seasonal demand would catch again and the beef market would benefit from some steak night out seasonal demand. With cash cattle firm and beef weak, packer margins shrink. Feedlots had been getting severely squeezed from both sides while ranchers experiencing a windfall in 2014 and 15 from feedlot overcapacity versus tight feeder cattle supplies, and then during 2016 when packers and retailers had all the leverage to keep from sharing beef revenues with feedlots. Both of these conditions have eased as we enter 2017, but the competition for the meat protein dollar between pork and poultry against beef is not over, as beef has done a little to win back any market share from consumer demand lost when beef priced itself out of the market. Packer profits did support packer demand for live cattle, which did allow feedlots to get more current in marketings. Carcass weights lost 4 pounds at the end of the year, erasing any year-to-year weight increase. The market adjustments come mostly from moderating supply, but given the industry is expanding, beef production has potential to increase if feedlots can make money feeding cattle. The supply of feeder cattle outside feedlots is growing, enlarging the supply of feeders available to go on feed. We would expect cash cattle prices to continue to gain on feeder cattle prices. While retaining a heifer costs half as much now as it did in 2014 and 15, the current feeder cattle market is much more reflective of reality than the past couple of years. While beef prices need to be low enough so as not to scare away prospective buyers, it is the quality and a much improved level of currentness in the front end supply of the market, which is now in evidence in improved feedlot competitiveness. Cash cattle values have potential for further improvement without beef prices rising to consumers. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.